This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The smartest show in the Bay Area.
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right.
I mean, you're normally more Dude, enthusiastic, no, but I'm not mad at you no. for your lack of enthusiasm.
It's Thursday. It's the best day of the week.
It's not.
But that was
you still feel that way?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I do because of what's going on to your left and to your right.
Oh, hello, friends.
It's my thing.
I know. You know what? You've got to pick which one's your thing.
You can't, actually asked me before.
You can't
for
get
my
to
Mount
spring
Rushmore.
And do NCAA tournament, and you've got a system and a trip, and you drunk dial us and all of these things.
Yeah.
And then the Masters comes, and you're right. Like, this is my thing. No. Which one's your thing?
Well, you asked me my top four before, and these two are in my top four.
I want your top one.
Well, of the top four things that I really look the most forward to, it's probably this over March Madness. Maybe it's Prisoner of the Moment, but
wow.
Something about the tinkling of the piano and, you know, just the visual and having been there and the Thursday vibes where anybody could do it. And, you know, you watch the same players on the same course, unlike any other major where every other major plays their rounds on a different course every year, but not this one. So it's special.
Yeah, I like it. No, and so we'll keep an eye on it. Let's go Joaquin Niemann.
I'm a fan.
That's our guy this week, and that'll be the end of that because it's time to hear from you, Warrior
Dude.
Fans. Lucas, unlock these things because I want to say this right out of the gate. I'm sure for many of you, and Dibs, you probably experienced this too. I don't think all year long my phone did that. At the end of a game, that was like 28 text messages at the end of that game from multiple angles of my life.
I authored a few of them.
You authored
couple,
a
two,
few.
Three.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lucas was in there. Grandy was in there.
Words like disaster, calamity, embarrassment.
Totally. All my high school boys saw you. Thank you, Kyle Heidenreich, good friend.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, pow, 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 pow. Like, just, I mean, the thing. It scared Christy's dog because Christy's dog, she doesn't like the buzzing phone right next to her, and she jumped off of the couch.
Oh, the thing,
and it was all a total frustration sensation. And so whatever you wanted to text your
Cha-ching!
Friends, thank you. Whatever you wanted to text your friends at 9:38 last night, why don't you call and say it to us right now?
You won't.
Yeah, you will.
You should.
And you will.
Let it off your chest.
888-957-9570. Your fingers are pointed at what? Now, notice I didn't say at who. Now, you can do that if you want. If you want to make it a who. I'd rather make it kind of a couple of collective things, but I'll start with this. I really do believe it. You kind of joked when I said it the first time that this is maybe the sixth time we've felt this year.
Yep.
You might be right, but this one beats all of those because it's more recent and more is on the line. This was the worst loss of the year. When you factor in what was at stake, this was the worst night of the year for the Golden State Warriors. And I know there were moments in January where you didn't, like, here's what's also funny. 3 months ago, if you had offered us this with two games to go, we would all have signed up for it. All of us.
Well, not that.
Yes. We would have signed up
not
for
that.
No, if I had said to you in January, hey, Warriors are going to be in the 7 hole, but, you know, two games to go. And if one other team loses a game and they're going to be an underdog in a couple of games on back-to-back nights, if they lose one of them and you win your last two games, you're in. And if you don't, you're the 7. And you'll have maybe a couple of home shots to get into the playoffs. In January, we all would have signed up for that. The team was bouncing around at 500. We all would have taken this, but not now. Not now and not tonight. And with everything on the line, and leading after one, and leading after three,
oh, God,
and everything that went into last night, the fact that a former Warrior sat there with his arm in the air, waving it like he just don't care at the end of the whole thing, that was the worst loss of the year for the Golden State Warriors. Now you got to go recover.
Yeah, you have to go recover and get help to avoid being in the play-in game anyway. And you look at the game, and the last 3 minutes, basically, you didn't have a field goal. You didn't make one. Your best shot was a Steph Curry 30-footer that didn't go in, and then you had Jimmy Butler free throws. And I do want to give Draymond Green some praise for stepping to the line with 3 seconds left and hitting two. Not one. You needed both, and he hit them both.
Those
two
were nerve-wracking.
Big free throws. And I don't know if I've ever seen Draymond in that way on the second free throw. And, you know, the camera cut to him, and he needed the second free throw to tie the game. And you could see, like, a big exhale, and you could see Draymond taking a little extra time. And he looked, for the first time in my life, nervous.
I actually barked at him when he did that. I was like, don't overthink it! Because the first one, he just stepped up and pow, swish.
Right.
Just like, I'm like, do it again. Don't sit there and start thinking about the moment and put it on your shoulders and all of that. Like, dude,
I
just
had a different reaction.
What?
I looked at him. I'm like, look at you, Draymond. Because he knew how big that was. And he took an extra beat and he gave it a little whew, and, you know, he stepped up and he drilled it. And at that moment, I thought, all right, overtime. Cool. Yeah, take your time out, San Antonio, whatever. And I'm not scared by whatever you draw up. And, you know, Harrison Barnes with a great shot, and he beat you. And I was bummed in the moment, but then my disappointment turned to anger, realizing exactly what had taken place, not only in the fourth quarter, but the second quarter where, you know, Pods and his chariot turned into a pumpkin, and Moses Moody he's in a little bit of a funk.
He's in a funk.
He's in a big time funk. And if you want to go beyond that, and you didn't have QP3 who could play, and Kuminga he's fine. He's not like that impactful. He doesn't have the ha ha. And then Steph Curry was fine. 30 points. I mean, it's more than ordinary, but he wasn't that efficient. And Jimmy Butler could only make free throws. And you look beyond that, and it's like, you blew two gigantic leads at home against a team that's not very good.
Well, and listen, you know, when we say everything you just said was true, I'm going to refrain. Y'all get to do whatever you want. But I'm going to refrain from what I think we do, and the Warriors have actually been asking us to, like Steph Curry said a few nights ago, can we stop doing this? Like, I really don't like when we come in the day after a game and then use last night's game to fill in a sentence about a player. Here's an example of what I mean. See, Pods can't shoot. What the hell are you talking about?
I didn't say that.
No, right, you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't. But
I said his chariot turned into a pumpkin.
And that's fine.
It's midnight for Cinderella.
He had a bad game. He had a bad game. They've all had a bad game here and there. I define last night by two things. And they are the two things that are constants when the Warriors lose, which is the old guys start looking fatigued. There are signs of fatigue. Steve Kerr's words now, when Steph starts getting sloppy with the ball in the fourth quarter, it's usually because he needs an emotional break. Is that not exactly what he said?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
When Denver came in here without Jokic, beat the Warriors, Steph was sloppy with the ball. Steve went to his locker after the game and said, "You're not playing tomorrow night." Steph said, "No, you're not playing tomorrow night." Was that not the same thing that we saw in the fourth? Here's what Steve said at that time.
More of a mental and emotional fatigue than physical. He's fine physically. His back was fine last night. He put up a fight last night when I told him I wanted to give him the night off, but he understood. You guys know Steph. When he's emotionally tired, it affects his decision-making. And so he's been turning it over last couple games. He's a little out of sorts. So, you know, we've got lots of experience with this, with Steph. We know him well and just needs a night off once in a while. He's for sure earned it. I mean, he's just carried us on the road trip, and he's been amazing. But the last couple of games, I think the fatigue has shown. And so give him a night, and then he'll be right back out there Thursday.
All right. Now, obviously, you're not giving him a night off tomorrow night. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that there were signs at the end of that game last night where your big three were suffering from exactly what Steve Kerr is talking about. And with the six games and nine nights and the long road trip and the tough opponents and everything on the line, none of these are excuses. It's just an observation. They started to be sloppy in the fourth quarter. The other characteristic of Warriors' losses lately, the role players miss most of their threes. And that's what happened last night. So I don't come out with any umbrella concerns. I really don't. I said to you yesterday, I think the Warriors are one of five teams that can win a title. I stand by that. I really do. I just come out with micro concerns. Now we're starting to get into mathematical concerns because you couldn't afford to lose that game. But you did.
You did. And for me, it's not so much about you being sloppy or tired because you only played about 25 minutes, if that, the night before in Phoenix. For me, it was about just recklessness. And you were 1-for-10 from three in the fourth quarter. And that includes Brandon, Steph, Kuminga, and Moses. Your only three that was made was by the guy who you would rather not shoot threes, and that's Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
He was 1-for-1. As a team, you were 1-for-10, 5-of-21 from the floor. And you only had three turnovers, and the three were two Draymond and one Steph. And the one Draymond was probably half a Steph. One of the Draymonds was because he got put into a bad spot, and he gave it up, and it turned into a live ball three the other way. So it was a bad, bad fourth quarter. Jimmy played all 12 minutes, and he had 13 of your 23, and most of those came from the foul line. So beyond that, you had only 15 points outside of Jimmy from the foul line. And it was a Jimmy 3, a Jimmy 2, and 3 Steph 2. So offensively, you had nothing going. And I don't think that it's necessarily fatigue. I thought you were sloppy. And I thought that when it came down to actually making a play and getting a bucket, offensively, you were stagnant.
Right, but what leads to sloppy? Again, I'm just using
Steve. I'm not saying fatigue.
Well, that's what Steve Kerr says.
Sure, and we'll ask him at 5 today if he thought they were tired. And if they were tired in that spot after only playing 23 minutes,
I can promise you they were tired. I don't know. It's not an excuse. You have to.
It's not an excuse.
You have to work with your fatigue.
Whatever it was, if that's the reason why you lost, well, then you're in real trouble.
No, it's not. I don't see it that way. It's not the reason, but
well, then what is it?
We don't really have, there's 1,000 reasons. Why'd you lose the game? Well, because that shot didn't go in, and then that shot didn't go in, and then that shot didn't go. I mean, we could do that. It's just an observation. And there's no question that they're tired. They are older. And they were in Phoenix the night before. It doesn't matter if they played 25 minutes or 33 minutes. They're in Phoenix the night before. They had to get on a flight. They had to come home, get in their bed at 2 or 3 in the morning. And this is the way it works. And we can be Johnny Public if we want and be like, I can't believe these pampered private plane boys get tired. Yes, that's how it works.
Right.
That's how it works. They were tired. And when I see those great players get sloppy, to me, it's usually a sign of fatigue. And I am thankful today that you will not see any more back-to-backs. for the Golden State Warriors. I think that's going to go well for them. That's just me. We're sponsored by Cache Creek Casino Resort. Wherever you want to point your frustrations, there's only one place where you can get them off your chest, and that's right here. So 888-957-9570 is the number. As you heard Dibs say, Steve Kerr, 5 o'clock. Between now and then, it's just you. So fire away. Whatever it is you want to say, we're here for you. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Barnes, top of the key. Vassell down low. Champagne and Johnson the other side. Ball to Barnes. Barnes will spin. Shoots over Butler. It's up and good. He hit it at the buzzer. The Spurs pile onto the floor and mob Harrison Barnes. The Spurs have beaten the Warriors in a game Golden State had to have. Harrison Barnes with an unbelievable shot. Jimmy Butler was all over him.
Wow.
6 of 9 for Harrison Barnes from beyond the arc. And the Chase Center crowd is shocked. People are murmuring, shaking their heads as they head up the aisles and head out into a Bay Area evening. And the Golden State season just got a lot more complicated. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Granny, go ahead and lose that one. You go ahead and lose that cut.
Oh, no, you keep it. That was a great call. People are murmuring.
No, it was a great call.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, I mean, Harrison Barnes, forever Warrior. He's won as many titles as Wiggins has.
I got nothing against Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's like it's kind of I tell you what, I find it real easy to go back to hating Chris Paul. That's the easiest thing that's happened this year in the NBA.
Is that your big hate takeaway?
Oh, my God.
Your hate away from last night?
Jeez. He looks exactly the way he used to again. God, tap it down, dude. What are you, 48 years old?
He's 40.
Good for him.
He's a man.
Yeah. Great player, but...
Also a forever Warrior.
No. But Harrison Barnes, dude, Harrison Barnes is awesome. Harrison Barnes has been a great dude. He has been nothing but classy. He was a champion. The worst thing he ever did was that he went to the playoffs one time and he missed shots and people got really angry at him.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, his as an asset, if you will, the movability of it, the flexibility of it allowed you to get Kevin Durant.
Right.
All right. Like, I have nothing bad to say about Harrison Barnes.
He's played in 71 playoff games. Do you know how many of those playoff games have not involved the Golden State Warriors?
Well, there were 7 with the Kings.
Sure.
So there were those.
Yeah.
I'll go with 7.
No, the answer is 0.
Oh, I misunderstood your question.
Well,
I thought you meant how many of them was he not on the Warriors?
How many of them have not involved the Warriors? In other words,
again, 0.
Well, you said 7, so you can buzz them again.
No, but I got it right. If you read,
you got it wrong. Had you thought about the actual question that was very eloquently laid out?
Not necessarily clear.
They all involved the Warriors,
right?
The only 7 games he played that weren't on the Warriors were against the Warriors,
right?
So they involved the Warriors.
Yeah, again, semantics. But my point is, I accurately laid out that's the only time he's played in the playoffs without the Warriors.
But you inaccurately answered the question. I thought that it was interesting. I don't have to do me.
Yes, you do. You can't do anyone else.
Well, what I'm doing is actually doing you here in that. You got it wrong.
What is going on
and
here?
I'm exulting in that. And the greater point is that he had 3 years in Dallas in which they did not make the playoffs.
Exactly. Sorry, my call screen just went blank, and I wanted to go to the phones, and I don't know where everything went. Lucas is on the line. Tell me who's on the line and bring him up.
How about Lamont in Oakland?
Let's go to Lamont in Oakland.
Hey, Lamont. Right.
Lamont, what's cooking, man? Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, guys. Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking the call, guys. Dibs, I need to ask a real ref a following question.
Sure.
I have kids. I'm trying to coach kids. It's just recreational, but I'm having to argue back and forth. What is a foul and what's not a foul? Okay?
Okay.
So the question is, you have a jump shooter going up for a jump shot. The defender is literally on him. He's going up with him. So the shooter releases the shot. Okay? The defender is still with him all the way, but he hits his wrist about 3 seconds after the ball is released. Is that still a foul?
It depends on where the defender, A, lands, and B, how much they infringed on the shooter's personal space. Just because the shot's been released does not alleviate the responsibility of the defender from avoiding contact. So if the offensive player shoots it and the defender, after the fact, impinges or infringes on the shooter, it still is a foul, Lamont.
It's still a foul. Okay, even though, so if they both go up straight and they both come down straight, it's still a foul.
Well, that's different now. You're talking about straight on straight. If it's straight on straight, and thank you, Lamont.
Yeah, Lamont, is this about a youth game or about the Warrior game last night?
It's about a youth game.
Okay, thanks, Lamont. Yeah. All right, let's go. Did you want to finish answering the question?
I mean, I would, but I could do a whole show on that, but you're more interested in what we should be interested in.
I am. Thank you, Lamont, very much for listening. Let's go to DJ in San Jose. Hi, DJ. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, DJ.
I think we really noticed, like, specifically the lack of GP2 yesterday, because we could not get a stop in the fourth quarter. It seemed like Stephen Castle was having his way with Curry, scoring whenever he wanted to. And then I think Post is just probably out of the rookies. Like, he plays the least like a rookie. Like, if someone's going to put a shot up at the end, that would count on him, his shot going in the most, even though Pods has been playing pretty well. But I don't know about Pods. I mean, he's Pods.
DJ, I'm sorry I'm laughing. That might be the best analysis that we've ever heard on 95.7 The Game. You're right. Pods. That's it. What does that mean, though, DJ? Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's been a good thing recently, because I didn't really believe in him like Steve Kerr did. And if you look at his college stats, he was a really good shooter and everything. But this beginning of the season was awful for him. And I didn't even think he belonged in the NBA, but if you look at the last few games, I mean, he's part of the reason we're winning. But I think...
Yeah, go ahead, DJ.
No, at the same time, I wouldn't depend on him for a huge shot. Like, he's very inconsistent, and that he has, like, one move, like, that slow motion move. Like, when people start planning for that in the playoffs, like, he's not going to get that off at all.
Yeah, DJ, thanks. I don't really see it that way at all. I don't think he has been inconsistent of late. He's been very consistent of late, and I think sophomores playing this way at the beginning of a year is actually not unprecedented at all. I think if you're a real Warrior fan, I'm not going to let last night suddenly discourage everything that Brandon Pajemski has been in the second half of this year, and certainly what he has been post-trade deadline with Jimmy Butler on the roster. He's been a very, very good asset
for
the
great
Warriors,
yeah.
And I don't think that his moves are going to, like, disintegrate in the playoffs and all these things. It's funny. The playoffs are different. There's no question. Sometimes I think I hear people talk about them as if they're a completely different sport. Like these role players, they're going to be allowed to play in the playoffs, and they better. And they better. These shots are going to have to fall, or the Warriors will lose. Like, it's not all on Steph and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. It can't be.
Well, and if it is, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And so, because you're playing 5-on-5, and so the other two guys who are out there on the floor are going to have to contribute and at least do more than what happened last night. And, you know, Pods has been great. Last night, 3 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3. He was not terrific in that game. And so... You look at Moody. Moody was not great. Kuminga was okay.
Okay.
Maybe even a little subpar to my eye. And so if you take all of the other players not named Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, none of them were really that great, and yet you still had a chance to win the game, and then your great players in the moment where you needed greatness from the greats, they didn't perform. I mean, Draymond hit two free throws, you had late turnovers, and you didn't score a basket the last 3 minutes, and that's why you lost.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But again, I'll keep saying this. If you end up in a tie game with 3 minutes to go, I don't care who you're playing. That game's going to go either way. That game can go either way. Those are NBA players. And like, for instance, he just brought up, it's like, oh, this guy Stephon Castle was cooking Steph Curry. Do you know who Stephon Castle? That's going to be the rookie of the year.
He's really good.
Dude, he's really good. And he's a really difficult one-on-one cover. And Steph Curry is not a great defender. So that was not surprising at all. That the likes of Curry and Pods, people who are not your best defenders, were having a hard time with the San Antonio Spurs backcourt. I didn't find that to be puzzling at all. The puzzling part to me is that, again, the offense went stagnant. This has been the story for 3 years with the Warriors. If Steph's off the court, the offense went totally stagnant. They have a penchant for doing that. It has hurt them before. It will probably hurt them again. It hurt them last night. I don't think they lost the game in the last 3 minutes. I thought they lost it in the first 3 minutes of the first fourth quarter. In a 12-point lead, and they just kicked it.
Yeah.
Completely kicked it with Steph off the floor.
But you get to the last 3 minutes, and that's where you, as a veteran team at home in a win situation that would be very, very big, you expect more than what they delivered. And I'm looking at the game log. Curry scores in a finger roll. Draymond steal, Draymond turnover. Curry miss, Butler a couple free throws. Draymond turnover, Butler a couple of free throws, Curry turnover, and then Draymond hits the two free throws, and then HB hits the three to beat you. You had no more field goals after the Steph Curry finger roll. He missed a three, and I do believe that was the last shot that you actually took. And I know that Jimmy Butler took two shots and got fouled. Those don't count, and he made all four free throws, but other than that, you had no other field goal attempt.
Well, and one of those trips to the free throw line was for an over-the-back call at the other end. It wasn't even an attempt. You know, it wasn't even an offensive set. Like, he got fouled with Castle going over the back on the other end of the floor and ended up on the free throw line. So, yeah, their offense stopped. You still ended up tied with 3 seconds to go, and a hero ball shot beat you. And 9 times out of 10, that's not going to go in, but it did. It did. You know what I mean? So, like, again, I think everybody can feel very equally uncomfortable with what took place last night. I don't take last night to mean anything fearful down the road in terms of the way the Warriors play basketball. I don't. The concern level for me is the fact that they've welcomed the nightmare into the room. That's why last night was so bad. I don't think it means, oh, the Warriors now can't play in the playoffs, so they can't beat this team, or, man, if they're tired, how do you expect them to go on a playoff run? Because the playoffs are different, and you have no back-to-backs, and they have a completely different flow to them, and the Warriors have experience doing it, and I give them a really good shot in the playoffs. But the problem is they've got to get there. And last night brought the nightmare into the room.
Well, for me, the nightmare was the fact that you had a second quarter and a fourth quarter where you just let them come back in the game. In a game at home where, yes, you were on the second half of a back-to-back, but it didn't seem to matter until the end of the game. And now, all of a sudden, we're going to claim fatigue. That, for me, in game 80 is unacceptable. Even if you are tired, it doesn't mean that you lack the ability to actually make a basket and you make the plays that you made. And if you're that tired, then they all should have sat. You sit Draymond, you sit Steph, you sit whoever else was tired, and you go out there and you play your younger guys, because Kuminga was not tired. He didn't play great.
But life doesn't work that way.
No, but life works the way you want it to work.
Well, but
play them and then also say, well, they were tired.
No, sure you can. Like, you try. You try. You give it everything you've got on that night. I don't think, look, the only reason this would be an excuse is if the Warriors used it. The Warriors are not going to come out and say, oh, we lost because we were tired.
Right.
But I can watch the game and, as an observation, be like, ooh, great players getting sloppy at the end. that looks like mental and physical fatigue to me, not like in a, wow, preventative, you're not even able to play sort of a way, but it helps explain some of the acts that went down toward the end to me. Again, so it's not an excuse. You're right. It's totally unacceptable. I rephrase this as the worst loss of the year. They know that. They can't. You can't do that. You can't do that. But it doesn't prevent the facts from being the facts, which is that the Warriors are an older team. They've been asked to do something pretty heroic over these last couple of weeks with the lengthy road trip, the difficulty of the opponents, the way the standings are laying out. And for the most part, they've handled those couple of weeks really well. Last night, they really, really didn't. Last night, they really fumbled the damn rock.
And we can ask Steve Kerr today at 5 about the idea of fatigue, because I look at Moses Moody at 22, and yeah, he's playing the same amount of games, but he's 22, and he was 0 for 3. He was a minus 17 in the fourth quarter. And Pods, who was 0 for 3 and a minus 11. So are they as tired at 22 as a 37-year-old Steph Curry?
I don't think so.
I don't buy it.
But I think we're talking about two different things. With Moody and Pods, we're talking about missed shots.
We're also talking about wild ineffectiveness where you're playing, the team is getting gashed.
But I'm talking about the slop. The slop of the passes in the fourth quarter. Again, if we go back to the way Steve Kerr spoke about Steph Curry 2 weeks ago, he said, when I see that from Steph, it's a sign of exhaustion. Again, I'm just taking those words to be like, he knows him better than we do.
Yeah.
So like
applying those words though to last night.
Right. But just to those three, just to the older guys, the younger guys, I think just missed their shots. I think they just had a bad night, you know, and Moses, maybe it's more than one night. Moses is in a slump. You got to get out of it. You got to keep shooting. You got to see the bottom of the net. And then he'll get going, I hope. If he doesn't, they've got a problem because they need those guys to knock down shots. I heard Slater say this morning. The defenses in the NBA in 2025 are going to do this. You're going to funnel the ball to those two guys, Moody and Pods, and when they're in there, the JKs, the Posts, and the Santoses of the world, they're going to funnel the ball to them because they're going to live with kind of like what the Lakers did last week. It's like, if that guy can beat us, if Pods can score 30, okay, salute, you win. But let's see it, because it's a hell of a lot less likely than one of the big three doing it. So those guys have got to hit shots. They combined for
14 points on 6 of 22.
Exactly.
And they were 2 of 12 from 3. So that, for me, has little to do with fatigue. And if you want to talk about the last 2 minutes of the game, and you've got two Hall of Famers who made sloppy plays – Jimmy Butler played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. For me, it was not about fatigue. It was about a lack of execution. And it was really more about the early part of the fourth quarter and the early part of the second quarter where you as a team did not handle business and you let San Antonio hang around. And that's what Steph actually said in the post game. He's like, when you give any team a chance and then you give them a second chance and you get down to the wire, well, anything can happen.
Sure.
So I think it's less about the last two minutes, but I'm not citing fatigue at all.
I think we're saying the same thing, though.
Like, but I'm not going to say that they were tired.
It's not about fatigue. No, it's about lack of execution, and I'm telling you that lack of execution is affected by your fatigue.
And that's where I would disagree with you.
I don't know how you can. You're not them.
Because I don't know how tired they are. And however tired you are, that's no excuse.
It's not an excuse.
You're making it an excuse.
I'm not making
you're
an excuse.
You're putting something out there that they're not saying.
I don't have.
You're saying that they were tired.
Right.
They're not saying they're tired.
Yes, they are. Draymond Green.
Did they say that last night?
You can see it. They can barely answer questions afterward.
They didn't say it is the
answer.
Of
course they won't, because they're professionals. They're not idiots. They're not going to say that at a press conference.
You're making that excuse for them, and I'm not here for that. That's all I'm saying.
Listen to what I'm about to say.
I'm hearing your whole thing.
I can't make an excuse for them. I'm not them. I don't have to make an excuse for them.
But you are.
I'm not. I'm literally saying what my observation is.
Right.
It's not an excuse. I'm not them. I don't answer for them. I don't have to do anything for them. I'm not them. I didn't make any mistakes last night. I went to my lady's house, ate a beautiful dinner, had a wonderful old-fashioned that she made for me, sat next to her, loved our time together, and the Warriors lost. I didn't do a damn thing last night.
Right.
I don't need to make excuses
for
anyone.
You might have been fatigued, but it wouldn't matter.
Actually, I was. I've been fighting a little cough this week.
No doubt.
It's tough.
And I think you gave it to me, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse.
I actually was up from 3:30 to 5 this morning coughing.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. And you know what? At 5:30, I'm probably going to be sick of this process, but we're going to finish and we're going to do the best we can because that's what we do.
And if you're fatigued at 5:30, then honestly, I don't care. It's no excuse.
Exactly. And I
do the show.
So, and I will. And I'm not here to excuse the Warriors. So I am going to kindly ask today, right now at 2:51, let's remove this from the conversation. Willard's making excuses. I'm not them. I don't give a rip. I don't give a rip what the reason was. All I can do is tell you what I saw and what I see over a two-week period. I see an older team that is going through what we've called a gauntlet. I see it affecting them some. It's not an excuse. It's an observation.
Sure.
And y'all can do whatever you want with it after that.
Well, what I'm going to do with it is I'm going to reject it, and I'm going to say that that is weak.
Wonderful.
It's weak sauce, and they're not saying it, and I'm not.
Of course not. Why would they say that publicly?
Well, why would you say it publicly?
Because that's what I see.
Exactly. You know what I see? I see big-time players who did not make big-time plays, and I'm not going to be able to project their relative fatigue because if you play a basketball game and you're out there playing, there's an expectation for you to play the game. And I'm not going to sit there and say, oh boy, you were so fatigued.
Let me ask you a question.
How can we look at that and expect anything other than what they gave us? Because darn it, it's game 80 and he's old and he's all tuckered out.
And if you'd listened to me
I've been listening the whole time.
I've never said anything like that. That's patently absurd that I sound like that.
You said that they're tired.
Right.
But
you're mimicking back of that is, oh, we can't win. No one's doing that. Let me ask you a question because
do
you
it.
Said it's unacceptable to play this way down the stretch. What's your observation as to why?
Because they didn't make the plays.
That's not a reason.
Well, the reason is
why did great players suddenly make horrible plays at the end of the game? In your opinion,
because
just tell me what you
see. They were sloppy.
Okay.
Now, were they sloppy because he's all tuckered out? I don't know that. I saw lazy plays. I saw Draymond save a pass and then try to make a play in a live ball turnover, and gave up a three. And beyond that, what I saw was an offense that was completely stuck in the mud, and Steph Curry couldn't find a way to get a bucket, nor could Draymond. Jimmy got to the foul line, and that's about all you had.
If you don't have a why, that's fine. But do you have a why?
Well, I could guess a why,
but I'm not going to say
it's they were tired.
Okay, so what would it be?
It was the fact that early in the fourth quarter and early in the second quarter, the reserves didn't do them any favors, and they could not make shots. And that put a lot of pressure on the regulars. And then when they came in, things got tight, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that, oh boy, they were tired after 23 minutes in Phoenix in a game where you didn't even have to try.
Yeah, they looked tired to me. That's all. Just an observation. Not saying that it's okay. I'm over here telling you it's the worst loss of the year.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we do that in sports media. Oh, you're making excuses. I'm not them. I don't need to answer for that. I didn't do anything wrong last night. I just watched a basketball game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. A lot of people want to weigh in. Let's do that next on Willard and Dibs.